For our graduates, we kind of wondered about which song we needed to sing, To God Be the Glory or the Hallelujah Chorus. But we're excited about their accomplishment, and we are excited that they are with us today and that you are here. And I believe God has a special message for them and for you. Look to the book of Philippians with me, if you will. Philippians, the fourth chapter. We're going to begin in the 10th verse there. Please be with us next Sunday. Next Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, and we will be concluding our study of the book of Joshua on Memorial Day weekend, God willing, and looking forward to you being here for this very special day. But for today, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Through you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word and you would apply it to our hearts, that you would draw us closer to Jesus in this time. Thank you for each one that is here. And Father, use this time for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's exciting that seniors go all the way through school. They graduate. They are smarter at that moment than they will ever be in their lifetime. You've learned it all. You've accomplished it all. You've done it all. You go through life and you start out high school as a freshman, and you're fresh, and so you come in, and then you climb the ladder, you get through that freshman year, and you're a sophomore. Sophomore, the name means wise fool. You kind of know stuff, but you don't know stuff, and so you're a wise fool. You get through your sophomore year, and now you're junior. Junior. Well, junior's not a freshman or a sophomore. Junior's accomplished. Junior's used to doing stuff. Junior's a step away, but a junior. And then you get to be a senior. Top of the hill. A senior. The last leg. A senior. And then if you go through your senior year, you graduate. And by the way, we are up to 84% of high school seniors graduating in Georgia. That's quite an accomplishment from where we have been. Only 6% of the class of 23 actually dropped out. And, you know, we want to pray for those, and hopefully they will come along in their lives as well. But to graduate as a senior, and then you've graduated. I think all of our graduations have taken place, have they not? Everybody's graduated, and you've gone through the ceremony, and everything's been great. Now what? Well, if you go to school, you're a freshman. If you take up a job, you're a novice. And so you start the battle all over again of climbing through life. I want to teach you something today that you probably did not get from school. I want you to learn how to be content wherever you are. I want you to learn to be content in whatever you do. I want you to learn the secret to finding God's joy and peace and happiness in the stages of life that you will face. I know that you think that you're through senior year, and so everything is going to be smooth sailing from here on. Well, it will be until it's not. And you need to learn how to handle when it's not. And I want you to know that whether it is good, bad, whether it is up, down, whether it is plenty or few, God can bless you every day of your life, and you can find the joy of the Lord in every day, and you can find a way to be content in Him. Have you ever noticed how nice new things are? They're kind of exciting. They're often shiny. Sometimes they do things better, or at least with more style than old things. New things are indeed great until someone gets something newer, shinier, or with more style, and we become a little less content. It seems it's very difficult for most of us to be content with what we have. Our cars fade as new ones come out. You know, a wise person once told me a car is only good for one thing, to get you from one point to another point. If a car can do that, it is as valuable as any other car on the road. Well, I know that sounds good, and I know that it's true. But new cars do look great, don't they? Most of them do. Of course, now you have to have a long extension cord to run some of them. But you know, it's just that thought of something new. A lady was asked, "What's your favorite pair of shoes?" She said, "Well, I like the ones I saw at the store." Guys like gadgets and newer gadgets. You know, cell phones now, we've passed the 3Gs, the 4Gs. We're now in 5Gs, moving toward 10. 5G, isn't that great? I don't know what that means, but it's 5Gs. And, you know, phones now play music. They stream movies. They store books. They take pictures. They've almost driven the small camera world out of business. And I have heard that the new iPhones are going to come out with a feature that will allow you, listen, this is true, it will allow you where you are to call and talk to somebody else where they are. It's going to be great. New stuff, it's just good. Other people's stuff always seems to look better than our stuff. I don't know why that is. That can apply to many things. We just have that urge in our life not to be content with where we are and with what we have. Our houses just don't seem like they're enough, and what we have doesn't seem like it's enough, and our jobs sometimes don't seem like it's enough, and we find ourselves grieving where we are instead of being happy where we are. In truth, a better life is not found in a change of your circumstances, a change in your stuff, a change in the people around you, a change in where you live. A better life is found in a change in you. If you're looking for circumstances to find the best life, you're going to find that you're going to have to look a long time. I have found circumstances change. Now, the reality of life is all of us face difficult days. You may think all your difficult days are behind you. Keep thinking. I hope you live long enough to where you'll find that may not be true. There are difficult days for all of us, but our God has made a way for us to find peace and contentment even when the days are tough. You're not going to find contentment in this world, but you'll find contentment focusing on the God who made this world. To be able to move through life with peace and fulfillment and joy, no matter what is going on, then Paul tells us there's some things we need to do. We need to learn to offer praise. In verse 10, Paul says, he has learned to rejoice in the Lord. Now, this is really a secret. Joy cannot be found in circumstances. It can't be found in people. It can't be found in things, but it can be found in Jesus. Paul rejoices in how God has led the Philippians to take care of him. He rejoices in what he has. He rejoices in where he is. Well, where is he? He's in jail. You know, Paul was one of the most educated people on the planet. He had degrees upon degrees upon degrees. He was schooled by the best rabbi anywhere, Gamaliel. He had accomplished great things in education, but he's in jail. In fact, when Paul went to a new city, I don't think he ever checked out how the Holiday Inn looked. I think he just checked out what the jail was going to be like. Because he was going to stand for God wherever he was, and that meant that his surroundings might not always be comfortable. So if Paul was ever going to be happy, he was going to have to be happy when his circumstances weren't that great. He's thanking God. He's rejoicing in God. And he's thanking the church at Philippi because they've reached out to try to help him. Along the way, there will be people that will try to help you. You need a church home. I got one in mind. But you need a church home, and you need to be faithful in that church because you will find that Sunday school class will be there. You will find that church will be praying. You will find encouragement there, and you will find people that will stand with you there. The church at Philippi hadn't been able to do all they wanted to do for Paul, but they sent Epaphroditus to give a gift from their members. Now, as we read this, some time has gone by. And even though time has gone by, Paul thinks it's time to thank them. Let me just throw this in. A late thank you is better than no thanks at all. And to our seniors, as you become a senior, sometimes people give you stuff. Remember to thank them. A thankful heart will be good for you. And by the way, a thank you is something that you yourself put pen to paper and put out. It's not something your parents do. It's something you do. And it's important that, you know, don't just print something out of the computer. Actually write something and send it that says, I touched this and I want to thank you. That's important. By the way, it's important no matter where you are in life. A verbal thank you, I have been told, is not worth the paper it's written on. So it's important to thank people. And so Paul is thanking them. Paul's rejoicing that they have helped meet his needs. He says, your care for me has flourished again. The word flourish means to bloom like a beautiful flower garden blooming in the spring. Their simple act of love and care for Paul brought a springtime to his heart, and he's rejoicing. Listen, when anyone does anything for you, understand that God has found a way to bless you, and you need to thank God, and you need to thank them. That simple act of thanks can be a blessing to them. Now, on the other side, when you have an opportunity to be a blessing to others, do it. Live trying to lift up others, not trying to see what you can get out of them. Live trying to encourage others, to lift up others, to be kind to others. The world calls this random acts of kindness. In the Lord, when you do acts of kindness, you can give the gospel and people see Jesus in you and they can go through you and get all the way to heaven by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's a great calling for all believers. And as you start out as a senior, it's a great calling for you too as a Christian. In the Lord, when you do something kind for others, it opens the door for you to give them Jesus. And so do that. At Christmas time, a lot of people do these kinds of things. Almost every Christmas I hear of this, but this past year it was not like any others that people had layaways at stores. And I heard about some people that were going up to folks at the layaway counter as soon as they brought out the layaway and gave them their bill to pay off. The person stepped up and paid off their bill. Well, that's an act of kindness. It was a wow moment for many people. I have known people to go to grocery stores and watch, and as elderly people would come through, they would cover the bill for that elderly couple and be a blessing to them. Well, that's a great thing. I've known some men that around Christmas time that give out $10 bills and point people to Jesus. You know, people might not think much of a $1 bill, but a $10 bill makes note, and it brightens the person's entire day. It's that thought in your life of getting out of yourself and doing something that might be an encouragement to somebody else. Some people cut grass. Some people bake cakes. Some people make meals. There are people out there just looking for things they can do that would just be a blessing to somebody else. And what it does is it gets your eyes off of you, gets your eyes on the fact that there are other people in this world that really have needs. And let me tell you a secret. When you bless somebody else, you get blessed. It's amazing. When you have that joy of lifting somebody else up, God lifts you up. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith." So when God gives you an opportunity to do good, do it. Hey, you don't have to wait to be asked to do good stuff. When you see that you can be a blessing, be that blessing. Take the opportunity. It's double-sided. They get blessed, you get blessed. Let me be clear here. This is not a bragging opportunity. Oh, look at what I did. You see me help that lady across the street? She didn't fall or anything. I got her all the way across. No, it's not about bragging. It's about blessing. Don't get your B's mixed up. It's not about pointing people to you. It's about pointing people to Jesus. And so be a blessing to others. Do you realize God really doesn't need you to do stuff? God has the power to do it all on his own. God has all the power he needs in his heavenly supply. When Israel crossed the Red Sea, that it separated. They crossed on dry ground. They ended up in the desert. God had provided for them a way to escape slavery. What an amazing story that is. But when they got there, they're in the desert. There wasn't a Publix anywhere. There wasn't even a Piggly Wiggly. There wasn't a place to plant a garden, and it wouldn't grow in the desert anyway. They had no place to get food. So in that place where there was nothing, God rained down food for them. They had manna that would show up in the morning and in the evening at supper time. They had manna. God provided for them out of his abundant supply. The prophet Elijah found himself in a desperate situation, and God sent ravens to feed him and make sure that he had the food that he needed. What I'm telling you is God has the ability to handle everything that is needed. He could rain down cheeseburgers. Burger King wouldn't like it, but he could rain down cheeseburgers. But he chooses to use us. He chooses to use us to be a blessing to others because he knows it'll be a blessing to us. So if God lays it on your heart to do something good, do it. Now, I want to be very clear, especially to our seniors and young people. If God lays it on your heart to do something good, I want you to do it, but do it on your dime. You understand me? There are some good-hearted young people that are gladly spend their parents' money to do something good for somebody else. You find a way that you can be a blessing. You find a way that you can cover what is needed. And it doesn't have to be a financial thing. There are many ways you can bless others without it costing anything. And so you, out of your heart, be the blessing you need to be. And you will rejoice when you see the smile of someone. When you see someone uplifted. When you see someone helped. Oh, it warms your heart. It puts a smile on your face, and it helps you get through the day no matter what's going on in your own life. In fact, in dark moments in your life, it's a great time to try to put sunshine in somebody else's. You'll find that it bounces back. It's a blessing. So learn to rejoice and give God thanks in everything. Then learn to be at peace if you want to be content. In verse 11, I have learned in whatever state I am in this to be content. Well, that's a good thing to know, to be able to be content wherever you are. In my life, God has moved me around a little bit. I found myself in seminary in Missouri. Now, Missouri is one of those places where they pronounce it two different ways. It's Missouri. Missouri, but for me, sometimes it was misery. I was in school. But it's not where you are, it's who you are where you are. And it's not really where you are and who you are where you are, it's whose you are where you are. And if you're surrendered to God, God can do amazing things for you wherever you are, and He can take care of you wherever you are, and you can be content wherever you are. Paul learned to be at peace with his circumstances. Well, let's see, where is he? He's in jail. Circumstances are not very good, but he's at peace there. Remember, Paul and Silas, Paul was someone who was uplifting of God even in the jail, singing praises to God even in the jail. It doesn't mean that Paul didn't care. It doesn't mean that Paul gave up. If we can change something in our lives that will make us better for Jesus, we should change it. If we can change something in our lives that will make us healthier so we can be more productive for Jesus, we need to do it. It's not okay for us to settle in our lives for less than God intends for us to be. Just like going through school, it's not okay for a student to make C's if they have the capacity to be making A's. It's not okay to be satisfied living in filth when you could do a little cleaning and have things look better. It's not okay to be settled with everything being broken around you when you have the power to have things fixed around you. No one should be content with mediocre. And I want you to understand that. God wants His children to excel, and that's what every parent wants their child to do. And at church, we really want you to excel. While we want you to do good at whatever you do, I hope you all make boatloads of money and I hope you all tithe. I want you to follow the Lord, and I want you to excel in following the Lord. And it's not really about how much you make or how much you have. It's about, are you following Jesus where you are? You find peace by knowing you're in Jesus' will, and you find yourself doing your best when you're in Jesus' will. And so you don't settle for just letting the world pass you by. No. If you're going to work, listen, you should be the best worker wherever you work. You should be the top employee wherever you are. You should be the best. You should give of yourself. Don't worry about watching the clock. Give your best to what needs to be done and accomplish it. And God will bless you in that process. It doesn't matter whether anybody else does or not. God will bless you so you can be at peace knowing I did what God wanted me to do. I did my best. This isn't talking about being self-satisfied. It is certainly not talking about being self-sufficient. There are people who take an attitude that they don't need anyone, and they don't need anybody, they don't need anything. And they separate themselves. They say, I'm okay by myself. I don't need church, I don't need God, I don't need others. Let me tell you something, friend. You don't exist by yourself. One heartbeat, and you would find yourself in eternity. One lost brain cell, and you could be a vegetable. No, you are dependent, whether you know that you are dependent or not. Paul is not callous to his situation. He knows it's a difficult situation, but he's not throwing a pity party in the situation. Verse 12, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. How did Paul learn to have such an overwhelming peace in any situation? That's what we need. Well, he learned to acquire power. Now, the next verse is one of the most misused verses of the entire Bible. Excuse me. In verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A lot of athletes have that as their key verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go out and win this game through Christ who strengthens me. Have you ever thought there might be a Christian on the other side who's saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go out and win this game. Well, what's God going to do? Flip a coin? This is not a ticket to a genie's lamp. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is in a particular place in the Bible. Now, when you're reading and studying the Bible, you need to take the context into play. It's not only what book it is in, it is what chapter it's in, it's what verses are around it. When he says, I can do all things, he is talking about being content. He is saying, I can be content, I can be peaceful, I can be joyful in all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter what the circumstances, no matter if the lightning is crashing, no matter if the ceiling is falling, no matter if I am moving ahead at work or I'm being fired, I can have contentment and peace and joy in God in every single situation, not because I can do it myself, but because I have the power of Jesus Christ in my life. Many people are pessimists. They have the I can'ts. And for whatever is out there is I can't. Well, my friend, you've heard it. I can't, never could. Can't is not a spiritual attribute. In the Christian life, it's not about what you can or can't do. It's what Jesus can do. And we should march forward in His will. You know why most people can't? Because they never tried to find out. Every major accomplishment, every single major accomplishment had to at least been tried once before it became a major accomplishment. Don't stand back and say, I can't, which is akin to saying, I won't. And if you can't, you won't. And if you won't, you can't. But understand, you have life before you, and God can accomplish great things through you as you move forward in that life. Always moving forward, always moving toward what God has desired for you. Always moving in His will and always seeking to be a blessing. It's amazing. In the Christian life, I've heard people say, well, I can't tithe. Tithing is given 10% of how God blesses your life, and 10% is 10% to everybody. If you're a millionaire, it's 10%. If you're a pauper, it's 10%. You know how you learn to tithe? By tithing. That's how you learn to do it. You do it. I can't get to Sunday school, just can't do it. You set your clock to get up for work. Why can't you set your clock to get up for Sunday school? You can. It's not a matter of what you can and can't do. It's a matter of what you will do or won't do. I can't be faithful to church. How do you get faithful to church? You show up more than once. You begin to show up. You know what happens as you show up Sunday by Sunday? It becomes part of your life. And it's also part of your witness. Sometimes churches get into this can't thing. We can't help others. We can't grow our Sunday school class. We just can't seem to get out of our rut. Listen, we have an almighty God. We can do anything he desires us to do. And we just need to take the steps. We need to step forward in faith. And when you step forward in faith, he will meet you there. If you will walk in faith, there will be challenges, but you will find God's way to get through that challenge and be a blessing to others and be a blessing to yourself. Paul found joy in situations because he realized he wasn't alone. He didn't claim to have power in himself. He claimed the power that's in Jesus. He didn't put the attention on himself. Everybody look at me, Paul. No, he put the attention on Jesus. And in Jesus, he found joy for all the ups, for all the downs. He found joy even when they were going to put him to the axe and his head would roll. He found joy stepping across into glory land and being with Jesus. He found joy. There is power to be at peace. There's power to have joy. There's power for every situation. There is power through Jesus who strengthens us. Now, if you're going to have that power, you got to have Jesus. Without him, there is no power. Without focusing on him, there is no hope. And so if you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, that's actually why you're here today, and that's what you need to do. You need to invite Jesus to come into your heart to save your soul. If you just come forward and say, I want Jesus, we will pray together and he will come into your heart. He will make a difference. Maybe you're a believer. You've got Jesus in your heart, but you haven't been living in contentment. You haven't been focusing on him. You've been focusing on you or on other people or on things. Maybe today you just need to come and bow before God and just say, God, I give everything to you. Thank you for how you've blessed my life. Guide me to be a blessing to others. God can use you. And you know what? To our seniors and everyone else, there is no telling what God can do through those who will surrender to his will. We will be amazed in heaven at all God has accomplished through your lives. Would you stand with me for a moment of prayer? Father, right now, I ask that you would move within our hearts. In this room are some that do not know you, Father. And Lord, the reality is their life will never be what it should be without Jesus. I pray, God, that you would lead them to you, that today they would accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they would just be willing to come forward and say, I want Jesus. Father, I pray for believers who are here, Father, that we would be willing to live in contentment, the contentment of walking with Jesus. Father, that you would not only empower our seniors, but empower everyone, Father, who is a believer, that we would live in your will and through being content in how you guide our lives and having your joy and your peace and your direction, Father, that we would draw others to you. Father, I just pray that you would move now. Change our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come as we sing?